Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Cheap Heat, the number 73rd ranked sports and recreation podcast in the world. My name is Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by the physically strong, the physically large, the man from Uptown, Uptown Malcolm, a.k.a. SGG, Stat Guy Greg. What up, Greg?
What's going on, P?
How you doing?
I am doing great.
Are you surviving this putrid week of sports entertainment?
I am. Luckily, I have other interests to keep me going when there's such a lull in the pro wrestling world.
Well, let's start off by just putting me over. Was Bring It to the Table the best thing that aired on WWE programming this week?
I would say it absolutely was, and it's been getting better every episode too.
Well, I got to tell you, we all know that even if I was to tell you I don't care about like what Twitter and the dirt say, I obviously do care because we all know that I'm a sensitive little bitch. And that being said, I got to tell you the feedback this week, both written in the dirt sheets and the comments on Twitter, it seemed to be people's favorite episode, which it wasn't necessarily my favorite, though I thought it was really good. But yeah, I was super pleased with the feedback we got this week.
Yeah, I'd say it was my favorite episode too. And I liked the segment with Corey Graves and the Hardys. It just felt like you guys are really comfortable with each other. The jokes were well timed. Everything is going great, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, people seemed to be into. People were surprised by, because I think ultimately the goal of the show is how can we do stuff that's like, something the internet's talking about, something the real fans are talking about. But obviously, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It airs on WWE programming, so it has to be within reason. So what are those topics? And I thought we did a great job hitting those. Like, I think people didn't expect we'd hit the Randy Orton topic, and I think we covered it pretty honestly and fairly. So, I mean, listen, I want to go even more. The producers of the show, I think, want to dig in even deeper, but it's a process. And I thought this episode, we started getting some rhythm, so I was happy. And let's be honest, we aired after Monday Night Raw. So if you survived that episode of Monday Night Raw and you still wanted to watch something in pro wrestling, how would you not think it was an improvement to watch Bring It to the Table? Because this was a rough week for Monday Night Raw. Where in what has been a rough couple of months since WrestleMania, where do you put this week's Raw compared to the last 2.5 months?
Oh, it has to fall on the low end, especially after last week. I feel like last week was such a hot episode of Raw and really strong. And then, last week gave us a lot to look forward to going into this week. And then we get Brock and Joe's confrontation at the top of the hour. And it felt like a steady decline after that.
Yeah, that's really the interesting part, too. They come out of the gate giving you Brock and Joe, which granted, it didn't rewrite, the business as we know it. They didn't reinvent the wheel. But, it was still fun
right.
to see them have this moment and see just how physical it's going to be between them. And it was good. Like, it was a pretty hot start.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's what I was going to say. This is what I liked about Brock and Joe, too, is that a lot of people, myself included, have been speculating about how they were going to make Joe look in the ring across from Brock, whether they were going to punk him out like everybody else or there was going to be, a fight. And they had a fight. And it looks like they're going to let him stand toe-to-toe with Brock, and they're both going to be able to showcase their strengths.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. This is not the setup you have for something that ends up just being a squash. This was a setup for something that ends up being meaningful. At least that's how it felt to me. So, yeah, you come out with that. And then they tease. They're like, all right, coming up, two out of three falls, Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. And I'm like, listen, anyone can tell that any real momentum with that story, it does not feel like it's there anymore. Because it's the only thing they've done since WrestleMania. And honestly, it's starting to feel like because they keep beating the same drum, and we'll come back to this again later when we talk about Dean and Miz, I think you end up really, just hurting the interest people have in the story of someone that people were really hot on. Because we were all really hot on the Hardys. And even just from the moment they came through the curtain on Monday, the energy regarding the Hardys is down a bit because We've just seen the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that's really well said, and I think that's the only way to put it, is that, you know, they come back and you think about all these dream scenarios and which teams are going to face the Hardys and what are they going to do, and then they've been hitting the same one note the whole time.
And let's not like all sit here and pretend like Cesaro and Sheamus, you know, even though I like the repackaged version of them, we're not going to sit here and pretend like they've been crazy over before the Hardys were around. They started seeming over mostly once the Hardys were around. Because the Hardys are being anywhere near them at first made you hot. And now I sort of feel like it's the opposite. And this isn't a knock to Cesaro and Sheamus. Obviously, we're both big fans of both those guys, but their tag team doesn't have a ton of flavor. And now as a result, you've had the Hardys next to something for a couple of months that doesn't have that much flavor. So it's now having the reverse effect. It went from making Cesaro and Sheamus hotter to making the Hardys less hot. Anyways, that's what you get teased with. Let's try to start on the positive note. What did you like about Raw? Besides the open.
Besides the open, oof, that's a tough one. I like the I like that they're continuing this mystery with Enzo and Cass. That really has me. I'm interested. I'm intrigued to see who done it. You know, I feel like they're doing that really well. And it's, I wonder when they're gonna blow the roof off of that one and finally reveal who the mystery attacker is. But so far, I'm intrigued. That hasn't gotten old for me yet.
Well, yeah, it's funny because there are a couple things out there that could instantly make Raw better, which are, yes, you're right, that is intriguing, but we sort of need it to happen because the show seems to need that story. So, number one, when that gets revealed, that could help. Number two, it's not that interesting, but the reveal of whatever the Kurt Angle personal life stuff is could be somewhat interesting too. But as it is used now, it's just sort of like, whatever. And I think some of these stories need to reveal themselves a bit more because, frankly, the meat of the show, there's just not enough meat. And we all know we love delicious chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I don't want it to get rushed, though. Like, I want these stories to develop and take their time and really hook us in, because that's what we liked about these old-school wrestling storylines, too. They weren't instant, you know, they developed over time, and I think so far neither one of those stories are stale yet, so they still have some time to tease it out a little bit.
I certainly hope you're right about that. What did you make of the Bailey Corey Graves sit down? Like, where the hell is that going to go after it basically just completely buried Bailey into, like, basically she's too soft, she doesn't have it in her, sorry, she hopes that she can win one day in spite of the fact that she's soft. I mean, I know it was more to it than that. It's about not changing and her being a role model, but, like, ultimately, and I talked about this on Shoemaker's podcast. Shoemaker talked about it last week when I did the Masked Man show. You know, everyone there should have a reason for wanting to be a wrestler and win the championship, right? Bailey just loving entertaining people and hugging people, that's not enough incentive for her to compete in the violent world of the WWE. So when you get a sit-down interview with her and all she says is like, well, I'm not going to do that and blah, 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 and ends it with, I need a hug, and it's really awkward. I just, like, unless you're going to turn her, like, you know, she's really going to lose it in some way. I'm confused as to what the point of that interview was.
I don't know what the point of the interview is if it's not to hit the reset button on Bailey. They tried to hotshot her to the top and make a champion out of her and squeeze all the money out of her that they can. And I don't think she's dried up yet, but I think that the real money from Bailey's character standpoint is her as the underdog. And so, you know, to bring her back up to the top, they sort of have to take her back down as far as they can to the bottom. So I think that's what they're doing, and I think that's the right move.
What, you mean the reset?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point, that's really all there is to do. Otherwise, I mean, listen, I thought the move could have been. Here's the thing. I'm going to go back to what I've said 50 times. If the reset was just a story with Sasha, I still think that could make Bayley matter again. You know?
Yeah, I don't see Bayley heel though, or like even
no. Sasha turning. No, Sasha turning on Bayley and Bayley really having to dig down deep in the underdog role. That could make her interesting. Otherwise, what do you do? I mean, do you take her off TV for a little while? Like, what happens now?
Well, she needs the sympathy of the fans, and I think taking that beating with the kendo stick was a step in the right direction. Her friend Sasha Banks turning on her would have been another step in the right direction, or would be another step in the right direction, I should say. Corey Graves on Monday. I don't know if you saw this clip of, I think it was Kesha trying to give Seinfeld a hug.
Yep.
And Seinfeld's like, yeah, no thanks. Corey Graves doing that to Bayley would have been a step in the right direction, I think. But,
Oh, that would have been pretty funny if he did reluctantly hug her, but if he had straight up pulled a Kesha Seinfeld situation, that would have been
hilarious.
That's a very good point. I'm not mad at you for that. So that was one of the bigger questions I had. Now, so how do you think we are with the women's division in general, in the Alexa Blissiverse? Where do you stand with the women's division on Raw?
I don't know how to feel about it, man. I like Alexa Bliss as champion, but it feels convoluted almost. And I would rather her have a clear direction and a clear challenger. And we get some multiple women storylines going. They have enough women to tell a bunch of different stories. So I don't see the need for them to all be crowding around the same space and all not necessarily doing anything.
As Ange Gold said in our group chat the other day, like, why does every Raw women's situation have to include every woman on the Raw roster? Like, yeah. It's just too much.
It is too much, and they have enough women and enough talent to sort of spread it out and without having to do any love interest stories either, like real storylines.
What other questions were you left with after Monday besides why? And did you watch Raw Monday? That's a very good question. It was a pretty important basketball game.
I was back and forth. Towards the end, I did end up watching the basketball game, but I was back and forth with Raw. So I caught most of it. A question that I would have to ask is, where are they getting these bear costumes? Why are so many bear costumes laying around backstage?
Because of- oh Lord, that was bad too, bro. Like, that was another one. I don't even understand. So it's not boring enough that we're still seeing Dean and Miz for listen, I enjoy a long, drawn-out story if people care about the story. I don't think people care about the Dean and Miz story. So not only is that story still going on, but now we're bringing in, like, this weird bear thing and just bear jokes the whole time. It was rough, bro. I did not understand why. And, you know, I got to say it. Like, this is not a talent issue. Like, I don't understand from a writing standpoint what's going on. Because it is not – Raw is loaded with talent. Even with Braun Strowman out, Raw is loaded with talent. There are plenty of things to do. But, like, that was the bear thing, bro. In a match with Rhino and Heath Slater?
Right.
I'm confused. I was just confused this Monday. It felt like a bad dream.
Yeah, it was not the best episode of Raw. A positive from that storyline, though, is I like that Maryse is visibly upset with The Miz and is not afraid to show it with the whole crowd watching, though. Like, turning her face when he goes in for the kiss and laughing at his face. No.
That could be interesting. I agree. That's the most interesting thing going on with The Miz right now, because it's certainly not the Dean thing.
Yeah, I like that. And I don't think it's going to lead to them breaking up, but I mean – if it does lead to Marie's taking some space and getting back into the ring, then maybe that's the shot in the arm that the women's division of Raw needs. You know, or maybe it could be just another person that crowds the ring. I don't know, but it's intriguing at least.
Are you interested in Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt?
Not.
Or is the only story that people care about with Bray Wyatt the one that happened outside the ring this week?
Whoa, we going there?
I mean, I'm not going to go there, but I mean, I will acknowledge that it happened. I mean, it got mainstream news coverage.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go there either. But yeah, that I mean, I'm surprised that the crowd didn't give him some, you know, didn't acknowledge it in some way.
Oh, they may have, and it just wasn't picked up on TV. But like, you know, again, Bray and Seth, two incredible talents. What is their why though? Why? What is it about Bray and Seth right now that we should care about besides them both being talented? Because that's not enough.
Yeah, and the why that they gave us wasn't enough either. I mean, I don't buy Bray Wyatt being so offended by someone's words that he would want to shift gears from Finn Balor. Like, that's the Bray Wyatt storyline that I was more interested in, Bray and Finn. And now we get Bray and Seth, and that's not a knock on Seth, but I feel like I was so ready to see the Eater of Worlds and the Demon and what they could do together. And that doesn't feel like there was a payoff for that.
I have to tell you, I'm like not far off from, we were talking about resetting. What do you think about a Bray reset to a certain degree?
But what does that look like?
Well, in fantasy land, aka my brain, when there was a moment on Monday when I thought that maybe Seth was going to like indicate something about the news story. And obviously that didn't happen, but I sort of thought that if it did, like if they could get to a point where, you know, Bray goes through his divorce or whatever, and you could use that in story and change his character from being this like eater of worlds to just being like a, I don't know, take that body type, take that look, take his background, and add in some normal human attributes of just a badass, bad guy. I think there's something there. I think I'd be more interested in that than the Bray that talks like this. You know, I don't know. I right. could see that. It's a terrible Bray impression. Yeah, I just think that there could be something there for Bray that's a little bit different and beyond this character. Because, I don't know, I just have never... We're yet to fully understand who Bray Wyatt is. And I just think that when I heard the personal life story about him this week, it made me just think about like, I wonder what he, just the guy, would be like. You know, a third generation superstar, totally interesting life. Like, I don't know, he doesn't have to be this forever. He could be like the Undertaker. I mean, granted, Undertaker kept that character for the most part. They don't exactly love the American Badass. But I wouldn't mind Bray having a time where he sort of came out of it for a while. And then one day he could just snap right back to it. What do you think? Am I crazy?
I think you are crazy. I really love cult leader Bray. And I don't think we've seen the best of that just yet.
Oh, I don't think we've seen the best of it yet. I do not think we've seen the best of it yet either. Let me be clear. I am not suggesting like it's over. We move on for good. It just crossed my mind. Is there another way to use him? That's all. But continue. Sorry.
And let's be honest. I mean, we're going to romanticize the Undertaker now because his career just ended. But American Badass Undertaker.
Are you saying it was Pug?
I am absolutely saying that it was Pug. Now, Big Evil Undertaker, though, that was a great character, but that was after a little bit of tweaks, and the initial American Badass with the denim on denim was just not the look, and we don't need Bray Wyatt to head into that direction at all.
So let me get this clear. Original Dead Man with the gloves and everything, Mage.
Yes.
American Badass... Repug.
Yes.
Big Evil Mage.
Yes.
And what about the most recent, the last several years of Undertaker? Also Mage?
Yes, also Mage.
All right, just wanted to...
So mostly Mage, but American Badass with the denim and no, that was no. We need to...
What about when him and Hulk Hogan had like a motorcycle fight?
That was Mage.
When him and Hulk Hogan were fighting over motorcycles and then Hulk Hogan came and couldn't drive the motorcycle down the ramp?
Listen, what I remember from that is Hulk Hogan being dragged by the motorcycle, which is like...
Oh, yeah, that was Mage.
That's one of the worst things you could do to a person, but it was awesome to see it done to Hulk Hogan.
You didn't know back then that you felt the way you feel now about Hulk Hogan.
No, I didn't, but it was still like the visual of it, like the brutality, like that was a different side of Undertaker than we had ever seen. So to see him take it to that level was Mage.
I know. Well, listen, when you talk about Hulk Hogan, it's not like the guy's ever made mistakes when it comes to starting motorcycles or cutting a promo, for example. You know what I mean?
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy.
Yeah, no, he's flawless in that department.
The man is always flawless. When it comes down to Madison Square Barclay Center, brother, let me tell you right now, I'm here in Barclay Garden. Speaking of the garden, I did want to mention to everyone that coming up on Friday night, July 7th, have you seen the card for the Barclay Center?
I have not.
I mean, I'm sorry.
It's the for garden. The garden. Yeah. I have not.
I just pulled a Hulkster. All right, I'm going to read it to you right now. I know. I just pulled a legit. Here, I'm going to read it to everyone right now. Hold on. Someone sent me the card. And I got to tell you, this is Mage. Here we go. Okay, it's 2 days before Great Balls of Fire. Friday, July 7th, it is the WWE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. All right? At the Garden. You have R-Truth and Goldust.
Oh, I'm enjoying that storyline, actually.
And that, well, they'll be going one-on-one at the Garden. You have a shocker, Austin Aries versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. You have Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey James versus Alexa, Nia, and Alicia. Finn Balor in his MSG debut against Carl Anderson with Luke Gallows.
That's me.
In another MSG debut, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler. Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Dean Ambrose versus The Miz. AJ Styles versus KO. And Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh my God. This is better than anything they're doing on Raw and SmackDown.
Dude, I know. It's like the best of Raw and the best of SmackDown. That's Friday, July 7th at MSG. I will definitely in the building. Greg, I'm considering getting a suite if you want to come. I'm considering stealing the ESPN New York suite, as I'm guessing no one else from the radio station will want it.
Well, yeah.
What are your thoughts? Will you be upstate Malcolm?
I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be uptown Malcolm that weekend.
It's very complicated between uptown Malcolm and upstate Malcolm. Hey, Bear, come here.
I was Montreal Malcolm this past weekend.
How was Montreal Malcolm?
Oh man, that's a great city. It's a little weird, but it's a good city. I enjoyed it.
I've never spent time there. Did you go outside the Molson Center and try to get in and find out exactly where Brett hand signed WCW?
I did not. I should have. You know, paid tribute to the Hitman.
You know, Stat Guy Greg, if you're gonna come to Montreal, the least you could do is pay respect to a great Canadian hero. I mean, considering you're from a country that's a toilet bowl. What was the toilet bowl line? What was the toilet bowl line again?
I forget where he was. He was saying that it's that he said the USA is shaped like a toilet bowl. Actually, if I remember.
Have you ever noticed? You ever noticed that the USA is shaped like a toilet bowl? Oh, I love you, Brett. You're my favorite.
He didn't have to go that hard out of the USA, though.
He did. He did. I love heel Canadian Brett. All right, so we already made fun of the bear. We talked about Bailey's interesting interview with Corey Graves. We discussed the good opening. Did they close the show with the Hardys and Cesaro and Sheamus?
Yes, and a non-finish at that.
So you're going to close the match with a best of three falls. A tag title match that ends in a schmoz or no finish?
Yep, that's exactly what they did. And pretty ballsy.
What kind of lead
ballsy,
in, what kind of lead in is that? Yeah, especially when you have to lead in to my show, bring it to the table, and we're competing already against, damn it, up against the NBA Finals, and that's what you give me? A two of three falls tag title match with no finish? Come on.
Yeah, I guess they're not done with this storyline, but we'll see.
Lordy. Okay, let's move on to some more positive things before we get into SmackDown and we preview Money in the Bank. I went on the social media on Tuesday and I revealed the latest collaboration between Foot Locker, Puma, and WWE.
Ooh, I did not know there would be more.
SGG, I surprised you. I completely kayfabed you. What did you think about these gold Pumas that come in the real Money in the Bank briefcase?
Man, I don't know. I don't have the words to describe. Like, they look gorgeous. The shirts that have come with, also gorgeous. I mean, that Macho King is that Teddy Biasi in the bathtub. Now, it's just like,
you're physically large. Can you fit into a shirt that is a physical large, or do you require a physical extra, a physically extra large?
You know, that is
hilarious. I have a physically large Macho King on me, but I don't have an extra. I'm wearing the extra large right now. But after a wash and dry of these shirts, I need the XL. It's too big right now, but after the wash, I think it's the size I need, I think.
Nah, see, what you do is you don't dry it. You can't dry that. You got to wash it and just hang it.
So then maybe you would fit into the physically large.
Yeah, I think the flare one that I have, the flare one is a physically extra large, so that blows my theory out of the water.
So, yeah, so basically the deal is this. It all comes out Saturday at Foot Locker to celebrate Money in the Bank. Shout out to Alexander John, who designed it. And they're only selling 100 pairs of the gold Pumas. Now, it's $500 for the gold Pumas, but they're making 100 of them. And it comes in the real Money in the Bank briefcase that they sell. How much does that retail for? Like 100-something?
Yeah, I believe so, on WWE Shop.
So you get the real Money in the Bank briefcase. Inside it, it's like this beautiful, they have like padding inside it. By the way, the
like
briefcase
is velvet really, or something. It's
the briefcase comes with the keys and everything. It's fantastic. And then the gold kicks inside, it has the money signs. The best thing you have to think is the laces clip. That's the $1 million belt. Oh my gosh. Bro, they are so dope. Like, don't get me wrong, the Clydes were cool. But, you know, I liked the Clydes, but they were like, except for the Undertaker ones that were black, they were all kind of similar. So I liked them, but I really loved the box more than the kicks. In this case, like, you're going to want to dress up in a black suit and wear these kicks one day. Like, they're actually amazing. And they're doing 100 pairs of the kicks, and then they're doing only 100 of each shirt also. In each color, I think. So I think black and white, 100 of each. So go to footlocker.com. They're selling them online and only, I think, in 9 stores this Saturday.
Wow.
And then I think there will be one more collaboration between myself and Foot Locker before this is all said and done, at least one more. But this one is pretty tight.
Yeah,
so.
And what I love, man, is that, you know, obviously you're involved, but the rest of the team that you got working on it, everybody loves wrestling. You could tell just from, like, the little details, like that lace clip.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw that, I was just like, you know, those little details make this a must-have.
I hate to sound like a shill for myself and Foot Locker, but you're right. When I saw the million-dollar title, I was like, oh, this is – shout out to John Hockadel. I think that's how you say John's last name. That's how I read it, at least. But he truly – loves the product and gets it, and Alexander John's a great artist. Anyways, let's move on. Let's get into SmackDown before we really spend our time previewing Money in the Bank, which probably requires most of our time, to be totally honest with you. SmackDown takeaways. We got to see two separate women's matches, which you know I'm a big fan of. And let me be the first person to say, I kind of pop for Lana's music and entrance. What is your thought?
I don't know how I feel about Lana yet. She's still, I don't know. I didn't like that finisher.
You didn't like it?
No, I did not. And I miss her old music, actually.
What was her old music? Like pre-Rusev?
The music that she would, like, you remember how when Rusev would come out, she had her own music and then she would announce Rusev? And then he would have a different music. I missed that. Yeah, yeah. I missed the Lana. I have something to say music.
I did like the music though, and I did like her sort of like half dance ballroom dancey thing she did walking. Listen, I'm open to it because A, Lana is a ridiculous smoke show. And I mean, listen, we're all human beings. Let's just not lie. She is one of those WWE women where it's like, there's nothing added. It's not about them adding anything to enhance her. She is, you would agree, Greg, you've seen her in person. She is luxurious.
She is beautiful, but I don't think like that doesn't get her past the ring test for me. That doesn't make me want to see her wrestle.
Well, hold on. I said that's the first thing, okay? Calm down. Right. Number one was she's a smoke show. That's obviously not the number one most important thing, but it's physical. It's right in front of you. More importantly, she has been around for a very long time. She has been over in many ways. So, like, here's the one thing I think is BS. People being like, people don't deserve this. People don't deserve that. What have you done? Yeah, listen, her getting the title... Would she be the most worthy women's SmackDown women's champion? No. But to act as if she shouldn't jump in and be involved right away, guys, she's been on the road and working for years. Years. She's not someone who's halfway around. She's always around. So, like, it depends what standard you're holding to people. If the standard is only working in high school gyms, well, then no. Then I have more credibility than she does. But if the standard is being someone who's clearly committed to the company, has been there for a long time, and has been impactful with the company before, then I'm sorry, guys. Lana's deserving of a shot.
I just want to see her wrestle. Like, that's the only thing holding me back is that I'm down to try new things. And, like, if they're going to make new stars, they have to put them in, you know, certain positions, right? Like, the women's division is stacked, but there's room for somebody like Lana to jump in and demand a title shot right away. And I think that's the right way to do it, too, because if you're on the roster and your motivation is not to be a champion, then you shouldn't be wrestling. There's plenty of other things for you to do.
Well, that goes back to the Bayley conversation. Absolutely. What is the character's motivation? So, yeah, you're right. So you're open to it. You just hope she's good.
Right. Before I decide, you know, I don't have an opinion other than I don't know what she can do. And so before I decide that I'm on the Lana bandwagon, I got to see something from her. Because even like, you know, Jinder Mahal, he came back with a new look, a new attitude, and he was always sort of decent in the ring. So I was open to the idea of him... with a championship opportunity. I haven't seen Lana do anything really. So I can't give her that same benefit of the doubt. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Well, for the record, I mean, he is the modern day Maharaja. I just wanted to be clear and unequivocal on that. No, you're right. So you're right. But she, like I said, she has been over before, and we know she's good on TV. Is she good in the ring? I don't know. Interesting thing about that match is she gets put in with Naomi. Naomi is an incredible talent, as we all know, and arguably the best athlete in the company. She is not a natural-born worker, right? She is like an athlete dancer converted to worker. So, though she's in the ring with someone who's more experienced and much more talent, she's not in the ring with a classic veteran to help get her over. Does right. that make sense?
It does make sense.
So, like, this isn't, she didn't get her match with Natalya or Charlotte. It's with Naomi. Frankly, you know, and everyone knows I'm a pretty big Naomi fan. One of the main reasons I wanted Naomi to keep working with Charlotte was I just want to see Naomi continue to get better. Yeah. And now you're putting Naomi in a spot where she has to lead someone who we have no idea how much experience she has. So it remains to be seen. Curious to see if some people disagree with you, though, because I saw some tweets, people really liking the Lana finisher. I thought it was cool, but I was just more into her overall look and entrance. Like, I popped for it, but, like, I'm not sure yet. We'll see. And then, of course, we will have, you know, there were two actual good women's wrestling matches. You had Natalya and Charlotte work a wrestling match, which was nice.
Yeah, nothing else to add to that. Like, they can go. We know they can go. So, I mean, to
that's a great thing about SmackDown is sometimes you just get a great random wrestling match between two people who can do that.
Right, it's funny how they can do that on SmackDown in 2 hours, but Raw seems to. I don't know what the motivation is with Raw overall. It's just weird. Like they have everything they need to put on a good wrestling show, but they put on a good TV show, but not necessarily the best wrestling show.
You know, and then they continued on with SmackDown. The one thing that they seem to be doing all over WWE is throwing everyone together. I mean, let's think about this right now, guys. I know it's Money in the Bank time, so it makes sense. All the SmackDown Money in the Bank people have been completely thrown together recently. Okay? All the SmackDown women have been thrown together recently. The SmackDown tag teams were all practically thrown together in one match. Four of them. On the Raw side, all the women are involved together. The men just had a fatal five-way. Like, there are so many people just tossed together in the same storyline. You know, like, what do the colognes have to do with the Usos?
Breezango found a bottle of cologne and they won't let it go.
Are you still into Breezango?
I am. I'm entertained.
And yes, I think it's still pretty good.
Yeah. I like the fashion files, like how they went kind of noir with it. It's interesting.
I loved the line. Everyone knows I popped really hard for the first time they said day one is H. And then when they said day one is G, and he said, what does G stand for? And he's like, gross. I popped for that as well. So, and by the way, congratulations. The Usos finally have a proper WWE day one-ish t-shirt. Are you getting that shirt, Greg?
I'm waiting for the snapback.
Oh, you're going day one-ish snapback.
Yes, I'm holding out for the snapback, and I think it's possible. I remember begging for them to put Kevin Owens shorts on the shop, and those shorts ended up on the shop. So now I'm hoping if I beg,
did you get the Kevin Owens shorts when they went on the shop?
We can get the snapback on the shop.
Did you get the KO shorts?
I did not get the KO shorts because they don't have pockets, so it was a waste. But
you need pockets in your shorts.
Yeah, I need the pockets, but I mean, I get why they wouldn't release like all his shorts and everything like that, because he has a ton of shirts and all the shirts are on sale, and now to put his shorts on sale too, you're basically selling his ring gear, which should be going at a premium. So I get it, but you know, I like the shorts. I want the shorts with pockets.
You know, you probably could just take the shorts to like a tailor and have them put in some pockets.
Not going to damage the integrity of Kevin Owens' shorts. Are you serious?
Well, sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect. I know.
You disrespected KO. Now, I know you guys have a little vendetta against them and everything like that.
Yeah, you know well what? KO disrespected me, so I think we're even. Now, so I know I've been crazy in talking about repackaging everything, but am I the only one who's currently watching The New Day and just sitting there like, oh, man, it's time. Time to...
Nope.
You feel the same way,
I had the same thought on...
Tuesday?
Yeah, I had the same thought. It dawned on me when New Day came out and they made that Straight Outta Compton reference. And I was just like, ugh, that's not funny. That's so dated. Why? And then Usos come out and make an even more dated reference, and I popped for it. And then I realized that it's not anything that they're doing. They just it's just
a matter of being bored of it. Yep.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, well, maybe their day one is age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Usos day one is just more age than theirs.
Yeah. Or maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Day one. Usos day one is more age than theirs.
All that aggression inside you, you chose to take it out on an inanimate object. And not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up. Shut your mouth.
All right, Gregory, without any further ado, I think it's time we get into a little preview of Money in the Bank. What are your thoughts?
I'm ready to go. I think the pay-per-view is going to be – I'm excited for it. I mean, I feel like they have three storylines and matches that I'm interested in. Overall, I'm interested in what they got going on. So I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view. The go-home show didn't really sell it, but I'm still sold on the fact that this is going to be a solid show.
I agree with you 100%. I don't think the go-home was the best SmackDown we've seen in weeks. Bear, stop leaving, man. Stay here. Your day one is H. Sit right here. Bear's down with that day one-ish. Yeah, I agree. Not the best go-home ever, but it doesn't matter because, A, the Money in the Bank match is going to be great, and, B, the other stories actually mean something. So, SGG, take us through this card. Let's make some picks and keep it moving.
So, shockingly, at the bottom of the card is Naomi versus Lana, which goes to show you how stacked this card is. A women's championship match is at the bottom.
Yeah. Man, part of me really thinks Lana wins the title. But I'll say no. I'll say that maybe somehow she impresses but shows that she's worthy and Naomi wins.
That's the ideal outcome for me as well, and so I'm going to go with Naomi.
But you don't necessarily believe it either.
I don't. Just because, I mean, this is the time of year when they start, you know, they bring some surprises out to get us ready for SummerSlam, and so Lana as women's champion could be one of those surprises.
And by the way, remind me, before we leave, we absolutely need to talk about Roman Reigns and what his announcement will be next week and the free agent John Cena. We'll get to both those things coming up. All right, continue on, SGG.
Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair versus Natalya versus Tamina versus Carmella, maybe with the James Ellsworth sighting, women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Who do you have?
Well, this one is the toughest to predict. I'd like to see Natalya get it just because I feel like, she has the best combination of, talent versus, you know, believability as a threat to whoever the champion is plus, deservedness. But I feel like Charlotte has just been making history since WrestleMania last year, so this could be another one for Charlotte, and I'm going to go Charlotte just based on that.
I am going to go Carmella. I think this is a great opportunity to get Carmella a big win in which she doesn't have to do a ton of wrestling. But she goes over, she gets to sit on that briefcase and have that I just think it does a lot for her character. I think Carmella, you know, Charlotte doesn't need it. Natty doesn't need it. You think about, like, just what's useful. Tamina isn't quite there yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, Becky's cool. Becky could be cool, but not needed. I think Carmella gets it.
That makes a lot of sense. And see, that's why I said this was the toughest to predict, because if you think about it, you can really go in any direction and yep. have it be a decision that feels right, which is the perfect setup for this match.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what's next?
The Usos versus the New Day. SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Don't see any reason why at this point the New Day takes the titles back. They don't need titles. They already have the Raw titles for a bajillion years. I don't know when they're going to need titles again. And the Usos, it adds to it. It adds to the Usos. It makes the Usos so much. It's one of those situations where, like, the Usos are dope. Like, we loved the Nusos. We think they're dope. The titles add to it a lot. It does not make sense. The New Day just don't need it. And I think the Usos do.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I don't think the New Day needs it at all. They said they want it, but I don't care. That's not enough for me. I'm going Usos.
All right, let's keep it Usos and keep it moving.
Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Money in the Bank ladder match. And this is also tough to predict. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say who I don't want to see get it. I don't want to see Baron Corbin with it.
No.
Not Baron Corbin. I don't think Shinsuke needs it. I don't think AJ... I feel like the person in the match who needs it is Sami Zayn. But if he's going to be the underdog character, he can't be walking around with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I don't think he's going to get it.
But he could, because it still could be cool to have him sort of walking around with it. And one day he, you know, pulls it out, has that CM Punk moment, and runs and wins it.
Well, speaking of CM Punk, I could see the WWE giving it to Dolph Ziggler just to make him, you know, just to put him in the same company as CM Punk as a 2-time Money in the Bank winner, and then, you know, leaving him in the position to knock him out and be a 3-time Money in the Bank winner.
I'm going to go Shinsuke because I don't see Shinsuke winning the title anytime soon, and I think this is as close as you can get to a title victory. And that moment of Shinsuke holding the briefcase, I could just see it being meaningful. I think the Sami Zayn idea too. Babyface AJ doesn't need it. I think heel AJ with it would be cool. But yeah, I'll go Shinsuke.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Dolph Ziggler.
All right, interesting. Dolph.
And I will say this about Shinsuke. You're right about the Money in the Bank briefcase feeling like a championship.
Title of Jace.
It is a title of Jace. But I just wonder what Shinsuke's entrance is going to look like with a briefcase in hand. And for that reason, I can't see him carrying around the Money in the Bank briefcase. He can't do his back bend with the briefcase. Or maybe he can, but I don't know.
He could figure it out. He could just come out and slide that bitch down the ramp.
He could.
All right, what's next?
The Maharaja, Jinder Mahal with the Singh brothers versus Randy Orton.
Oh, I really hope Jinder lays out Cowboy Bob Orton, by the way.
Same.
That would be so funny. And Bob, I mean, I don't know how old Cowboy Bob seems these days, but back in the day, he was so good at just taking a random bump. I will go with the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal.
I, too, will go with the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal. Although, it's weird, though, right? They've been making a big thing of this hometown curse. So I don't know when they're going to go with it, like, you know, how they're going to do it. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wouldn't be shocked if he lost it, but I'd be surprised. I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, I don't want him to. I don't want him to lose it, not anytime soon. And what else? So, well, that was the final match, but
that's it. It's five.
It's five. But okay. I got a little scared for a second because I went to Wikipedia and I saw that on his Wikipedia page, it said that Cowboy Bob Orton passed away on June 14th. We're recording this on June 14th, but according to the rest of the internets, he is alive and well.
That is just a weird, creepy thing someone did because they heard his name on TV.
An awful joke. Cowboy Bob is alive and well, but that was my pause. I was just like, damn, did he die just moments after we said we wanted to see him catch a beatdown?
That would be terrible, yeah, but no, don't worry. He's fine.
It did not happen.
All right, last couple things. What do you expect Roman Reigns' announcement to be next week?
I don't know. I'm intrigued, though. I wonder if it's going to be an opponent for a future pay-per-view, maybe SummerSlam.
Oh, no, it said SummerSlam announcement.
Oh, well then, yeah, I'm expecting him to challenge John Cena then, if that's the case.
Even though John Cena, the free agent, is coming back to SmackDown on July 4th?
Yeah, but is he coming back to SmackDown to say goodbye? Is he coming back to SmackDown to address Roman putting his name in his mouth? Like, what is he coming back to SmackDown to say? We don't know. Maybe he wasn't coming back to say anything, but maybe now he's going to have something to say after Roman puts his name out there. Because Roman, this is yard now, and he's on the path to proving that. And phase one was taking out The Undertaker. Phase two may very well be going after that other person who's been put in a similar class as The Undertaker, as somebody in the company with longevity and a lot of respect in the locker room. And that's John Cena.
Very, very good point. And yeah, John Cena is being labeled the free agent because obviously they want the door open to him appearing on either show. So we will see how that plays out. I just can't see where you go right now for Roman besides that. And frankly, I don't know where you go with John besides that. I mean, I suppose there are options we're not thinking about, but to me, it seems like, I mean, I did sort of think Cena and Roman would be next year at Mania. So maybe we're just not thinking about something. Would love to hear your ideas at Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Guy Greg. But, yeah, that's where I'm at as well. Hey, SGG, a.k.a. Uptown Malcolm, have a wonderful weekend. Try not to get too physically large. And I will work on getting you a physically extra large Foot Locker WWE shirt.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
How did people – by the way,
as always.
How did no. Before you say it. How did everybody respond to your apology last week?
Some people were upset that I apologized, and to those people, I appreciate it, but sometimes you have to take an L for the greater good. Abraham Lincoln once said, a house divided cannot stand, and I will not divide this cheap heat house. So the apology is very necessary.
Wow. Unbelievable how classy you are. And you were going to say something else. What was that again?
I was going to say stay mage.
Oh, okay.